We rise. Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and washed us in his own blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We continue in our studies of Ephesians at chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is God's word. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, dear fellow children of light. Trouble getting up in the morning? Is each day a struggle to get yourself out of bed? Do you hit snooze over and over again? Maybe you're getting too much sleep, or maybe you're not getting enough. Or maybe the world you have to face just doesn't seem worth waking up to. What sort of tactics are going to help? My parents used to stand in the hallway and sound a trumpet call. And yet, that more often than not made me want to pull my pillow over my head. The Epistle to the Ephesians describes our wake-up call. It describes the Holy Christian Church, the assembly of those who have been awoken by the light of Christ. Chapter 1 refers to us being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And going on to say that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened, that we may know the greatness of the power which works in us who believe, which he worked also in Christ when he raised him from the dead. A light has dawned. Shining through the cracks of this dark world, the Lord throws open the drapes to reveal Jesus Christ. Verse 14, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Sin is exposed, the will of God is made visible, and our path is enlightened. You have been awoken by the light of Christ. You know the look, the bedhead, the puffy eyes, the groggy attitude. We're not always so pleasant to meet in the morning. Most of us don't wake up like they do in the movies with perfect hair and makeup and a bounce in our step. Sometimes we look into the mirror and wonder just who we're looking at. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. When it comes to sin, there is a natural desire to keep things hidden. There's a natural desire to not want to look at that unpleasant sight when the light shines into the darkness of our secret sins. And yes, we all have secret sins. We have those hidden things, whether from the distant past or the near past or our day-to-day attitudes in our hearts. We have those things that want to make us pull the covers over our head and not get up. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Just prior to our text, Paul refers to the sins of the unbelieving world, that they go on in darkness, in this constant state of sinning by fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, idolatry. They go on as if these things are either hidden from God or there's going to be no punishment for them. And so Paul says, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. A friend of mine used to tell me that sin is only as real as you make it. That sin is only sin because you've been taught that way by your parents. That there's really no guilt to be felt. But that's only a thought of darkness. What Paul calls empty words, no substance, no meaning to them. As it's written in 1 Corinthians 4, God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. God's word exposes. Verse 11, have no fellowship with sin, but rather expose it. To walk in God's light is to step out of the shadows and into the light of Christ. As John writes, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To step into the light is akin to what we read in our Old Testament reading from Proverbs 9, the reference to wisdom. The wisdom which accepts correction, which welcomes the knowledge of sin, and which fears the Lord with a heart of faith. To step into the light is to let Christ shine, not just exposing sin, but exposing the works that he's performed in our place. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light, it says. Jesus gets us up. If it were only the condemning voice of the law, we would never have the strength to get out of bed in the morning. But rather, Jesus awakes us with the uplifting call of the gospel, the voice which sounds forth, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We wake up to a whole new look, where now we look into the mirror and we see not that groggy attitude of ourselves, but we see our Savior shining. And so we come to church to receive that uplifting light that shines into darkness through the forgiveness of sins in word and sacrament. You have been awoken by the light of Christ. Maybe you can recall a time where you've gotten up overnight and in your groggy sense, you feel through the darkness only to step on a toy. Or to stub your toe on something, a shoe that's been left out, perhaps. Many can read the Bible and yet totally miss what it's saying and not see what's really there. Only in the light of Christ do we see the will of God made visible. As Jesus said to the religious leaders in John chapter 5, you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Searching the scriptures, and yet they totally miss what they were saying, prophesying of the coming of the Messiah, the light of the world, to take away all sin, that it no longer would be dependent on our works, for our works have failed. Only in the light of Christ do we, verse 10, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. In Christ there is nothing to hide. Verse 13 says, all things that are exposed are made visible by the light. That's what that word manifest means. It means to make visible or to make known that God has nothing to hide from us that we don't need to know, and we have nothing to hide from him. So the word becomes like a flashlight As Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet. It shines and makes visible what otherwise will be hidden from us, the will of God. So that, as verse 10 says, we can find out what is acceptable. It literally means we can examine, we can test. The word would be used to speak of how oxen would be used to, would be tested for their usefulness. That God wants us to examine all things, to judge sin, to judge teaching, to judge righteousness, and to find out what is truly useful. Isaiah wrote, to the law and to the testimony. If they don't speak according to these, it's because there's no light in them. That is where we go, to find out the will of the Lord, to find what is acceptable. Verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Jesus also said in our gospel reading, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. In the word is where the will of God is revealed. So when we face such decisions in our life about gambling, abortion, marriage, sex, our role as parents or our role as children, decisions about our church or practicing fellowship, and so on, we can only rely on the word for those answers. We can't rely on ourselves or our goals or our feelings. We can't even rely solely on our church or our pastor. We have to confirm it by the light of Christ, found only in the word. Awoken in Christ, that will is made visible. Robin Williams starred in a movie some time ago called Awakenings. I don't know if you've ever seen it, and I don't mean to spoil the storyline for you, but it's the story of a lab doctor who finds a job in a mental ward. A mental ward that is filled with those patients who have become virtually immobile. They can't move. They can't communicate. They're catatonic. He finally discovers that they're suffering from a severe nerve disorder similar to Parkinson's, to the point where they not only are their moves, their nerves have become virtually immobile. They can't move. He gives them the right medicine finally, and they begin to move, to talk, to live. They have been awakened. Our awakenings have taken place. Through the power of the word, we've received that right medicine to live, to move. And yet what these patients discovered was, even though they've been awakened, the hardest and most challenging part was yet ahead. How to begin to function in society again, a society that they've been away from. God has redeemed us from the power of darkness. He has awakened us. He has given us the forgiveness of sins, and we should never think that this light of Christ is dependent on whether or not we walk in it. It says, you are children of light. Now walk as children of light. You have sat up. You are righteous. And yet, just like those patients, we still face a great challenge. How to function? How to struggle with the sinful flesh every day? Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, it says. Careful attention. It's a sober walk. Verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We are to be sober both physically and spiritually. The recklessness that comes from alcohol can also come from all kinds of sin that begin to lure us, to dull our senses. Now is the acceptable time. Notice the urgency. Redeeming the time, it says, which means making the most of the time. Making the most of every day with your family, with your fellow believers, with people you know in your neighborhood. Making the most of every day of grace where God's light shines on you, because the days are evil, Paul writes. He says as much in Romans also, chapter 12. And you know this, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It is more pressing than ever to hold fast to the fellowship we've been given in the Word. Scripture repeatedly emphasizes the importance of separating ourselves from bad influences in our personal lives, in our church life, in our church doctrine. It says also in 2 Corinthians, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" It's talking about that same partnership mentioned in verse 7, being partakers with them. And verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." That now we guard and protect this precious faith, this light that shines around us, by separating from the attacks of Satan around like-minded Christians. Verse 19, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Fellowship is about more than potlucks. It's about gathering around that word. It's about gathering around the sacrament. Notice it's not an outward show. It's not measured by our musical abilities, by whether or not we have a choir, by how beautiful you can sing. Making melody in your hearts. That is what our fellowship is, the harmony of Christian love. As we build this congregation together, gathering around His body and blood to share a common faith. To be in harmony by submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. By counting your brother or your sister worth more than yourself. By being in harmony, speaking to one another the beautiful song of redemption. As John writes, "He who loves his brother abides in the light." We have woken up. Without that wake-up call, we would never get out of bed, but Christ has sounded the trumpet. The trumpet of His Word, which day by day calls us into that light through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But not only that, also the last trumpet, which will awake all the dead, which will raise us up to a heavenly light where we won't know darkness anymore, ever again. It shines into eternity. As is written in Revelation, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Amen.